Good evening, it is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Isabella Garrido, and Joseph Guido. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. The Oak Stabilization Program, administered by Addiction and Mental Health Services, KFLNA, will officially move into its new permanent location at 206 Concession Street in January 2025. The Oak Stabilization Program has been located at a motel in Kingston's West End for the past 3 years. The newly renovated 18-bed facility includes private bathrooms and communal kitchen, dining, and lounge areas. With daily staff programming and individual case managers, the program allows participants to live in a safe and secure environment while they participate in mental health or substance abuse treatment. 206 Concession Street is one of three projects funded by the city and the federal government through the Rapid Housing Initiative that recently opened. Jane Hartley, Director of Housing and Social Services with the city, sat down with CFRC to speak to the city's involvement in this project and efforts to provide more transitional housing. This was a big collaborative effort. I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about the cross-agency approach that made this possible and how the city has been involved.
Certainly. This has been a cross-agency initiative. We have, the city has been working with addictions and mental health support for a number of years on a number of different initiatives. This project, really, it was with support from the CMHC, Canadian Mortgage and Housing Corporation, through their Rapid Housing Initiative, Round 3, as well as the city contribution with council endorsement that allowed this opportunity to move forward to create this amazing space that can support 18 individuals, you know, working through challenges with mental health and addiction. So it the funding was approved in 2023, construction started in, a renovation started in 2024, and we were really happy to have our ribbon cutting earlier this week.
Yeah, and how has this move contributed to the city's goals? What's the scale of the impact this project and the two other Rapid Housing Initiative projects this fall winter season have had?
You know, it's really about, we can't do it alone, the city, and with senior levels of government funding and the city commitment to funding, it's really supporting on many different levels those, you know, most vulnerable individuals in our community. The Habitat was our first ribbon cutting a while back. That was the one initiative that was under the Rapid Housing Initiative. That was, you know, 484,000 that created 8 tiny homes and are fully rented up, and that was, you know, that's really helped to just allow those individuals to, for some, to have the first time a home of their own and a space to where they can afford to, you know, grow and thrive and, you know, help support them with staffing to support them on their journey to hopefully independent housing. And that's where the staff there are really committed to working, Habitat for Humanity and their staff supporting those individuals. The second one was this, you know, AMHS collaboration with the city to create this wonderful 18-bed site. We received funding through CMHC, and then the city contributed over $1 million to support the renovation. So it's, again, this is a opportunity for those individuals, and it was amazing at the ribbon cutting. There was a woman that, you know, provided kind of a letter of, you know, what this meant to her. And it's really when you hear those, you know, it's the first chance she's had in a long journey of challenges, and just the excitement and the hope that these opportunities provide. This is a, you know, this is really an opportunity where 18 individuals can come into this site and work towards on their mental health and addiction challenges with the guidance, support, you know, what they need to help them move forward and to live a fulfilling and, you know, happy life. And, you know, often there's so many in our community that do not have that opportunity. And this is the start, you know, for us to continue to do more work and working with the AMHS on that.
Sean Allen, program manager with the Oak Stabilization Program, also sat down for an interview with CFRC about the new space.
Oak Stabilization Program has been located at a motel in the West End for the past 3 years. I was wondering if you could dive into what the circumstances were before and how this new location is going to add to the program.
For sure. So about 3 years ago, Addiction and Mental Health Services, KFLA, recognized the growing need to support folks in our community who are homeless and challenges with substance use. And so real quick, they had to get something going. And so the motel was sort of the best option at that time. But as you can imagine, it doesn't quite serve all of our needs. So this new building is quite fantastic, actually. It has a large kitchen that will be able to run some life skills groups, some cooking groups, come together to share meals. We have spaces for community partners if they need to meet with shared clients as well. So that is something different than what we have at the motel. We also don't have a kitchen at the motel. So all of that is new and different for us. And it's a new, fresh building retrofitted just for us. So it also is updated and, you know, gives some dignity around their recovery journey.
And getting into the details here, I was wondering if you could tell us a bit about the Oak Stabilization Program administered by AMHS.
Yeah, so it's an 18-bed addiction recovery program. And so folks who come to us are struggling mainly with addiction, but also some mental health. They also are, prior to coming to us, homeless or precariously housed, and have a desire to make some changes in their life towards recovery. There's programming each day, and each individual has a case manager designated to them, but there's a team approach in serving all clients. That's kind of it.
And you mentioned this is an 18-bed facility. Is that the same capacity as you had before, or is that new as well?
It is the same capacity as we had before. So the difference is that we're all in one spot, whereas before we were we're all kind of isolated in our own rooms, and three of our 18 rooms were at the front of the building and the rest were at the back of the motel. And this way we're all located in one spot, even though each individual has their own room. It's different than being sort of in a row of rooms in a motel.
Recent strike votes from Queen's University workers signal possible labor disruptions in the new year. A release from QP earlier this week confirmed that across three Kingston groups, 96% of members voted in favor of strike action. This includes trades, custodial and food service workers, educational and laboratory technical staff, and library technicians. According to the release, most of these Queen's workers have seen their wages fall below inflation by 11 to 14% in recent years, and many have had to take on second or third jobs to make ends meet. For those in trades, hourly wages are $10 to $15 lower than at other Kingston employers. QP254 President Marie Edwards, representing technicians, spoke to the current state of negotiations in an interview with CFRC. What have you been experiencing so far, and what are you hearing from your fellow Queen's workers? Where is the university falling short here?
The biggest problem among our members right now is wages. The constraint of 1% wage increase over the last 3 years has impacted the members greatly, especially considering how inflation has driven the prices of everything up. So if you look at our buying power, we've gone down in the last number of years by roughly 10% of buying power. So members are having, you know, they're having a hard time putting money away to save. Some are having difficulty making ends meet with rent. And some of it, we have a fairly broad range of salary. Some of them are having difficulty with food. They're experiencing food insecurity.
And I was wondering if you could speak to the circumstances and the state of negotiations that's brought us here where Queen's workers are ready to strike in the new year.
They're feeling that the university is not listening when it comes to compensation. There was a request to have a wage opener clause in the last collective agreement because, you know, we knew that the wage constraint did come down from government. The university denied our request for this. And we're concerned that they're going to come into it looking for a similar increase that they've given us in the last number of years. So in the last 10 years, our wage increases have been an average of 1.25.
While it is anticipated that wage negotiations will be difficult, Edwards did report progress in non-wage related bargaining, which took place just prior to the interview. You did mention that you just came back from bargaining with non-wage related issues. How did that go?
That went very well. There's been good discussion on the language and the changes. Some of the changes were to align the collective agreement with language from labor laws, that kind of thing. Some of them were also to recognize, for instance, the recognition of a family member may mean different things to different groups.
When asked for comment by CFRC, the university simply responded stating they are engaged in separate talks with several unions, and they remain committed to reaching negotiated agreements that are capable of being ratified by the parties involved. While workers are ready to strike, Edwards has hope an agreement will be reached before it comes to that. The latest update from Queens, since it was released that QB workers are ready to strike, was simply that you're still in negotiations. Do you foresee any change in circumstances before the new year that would prevent a strike?
We're all working towards reaching an agreement to avoid a strike. But the workers want to be in a position where they can, if they're going to strike, we want to strike in a manner where it will have the most impact so that we can get it dealt with and finished as quickly as possible. Because really, everyone wants to be back at work.
And do we have any ideas on timeline?
We have not been offered any monetary proposals at this time. The university has not given us any idea when we might be expecting those. We do have a number of bargaining dates scheduled for January, towards the end of January, the 24th, 28th, and 31st. So I'm hoping that there will be some monetary proposals on the table at that time.
In another message directly from the city, this is how the City of Kingston and Utilities Kingston Services and Facilities will be affected by the holidays. As for green bin garbage and recycling, there is no collection on December 25th and 26th. Collection will occur 2 days after your regularly scheduled collection. There is also no collection on January 1st, and collection will occur the day after your regularly scheduled collection. The Kingston Area Recycling Center will be open on December 24th from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and closed on December 25th, 26th, and January 1st. Real Christmas trees, ornaments and tinsel removed, can be dropped off for free at the Kingston Area Recycling Center, 196 Lappin's Lane. As for the transit schedule, Christmas Eve, December 24th, will be a regular weekday service. There will be no service on Christmas Day, December 25th. Boxing Day, December 26th, will be Sunday service, except Route 18, which will operate on its regular weekday schedule. On December 31st, New Year's Eve, everyone can ride for free at any time on all routes. Transit will operate on a regular weekday schedule. The following routes will be running on extended service as late as 3 a.m. Routes 1, 2, 7, and 3132, and Express 501, 502, 601, 602, and 701, 702. On New Year's Day, January 1st, there will be no service. Queen's University routes will not run during the holiday break. Route 20 service will be paused December 21st to January 8th, and Route 17 service will be paused December 22nd to January 8th. As for municipal offices and facilities, administrative offices, including housing and social services on Montreal Street, will be closed December 24th to 26th and January 1st. Provincial Offences Court at 362 Montreal Street will be open on December 24th from 8:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. and closed December 25th, 26th, and January 1st. Utilities Kingston and Kingston Hydro are open on December 24th and 31st from 8 a.m. until noon and closed on December 25th and 26th and January 1st. For a utility emergency, you can call their emergency line at 613-546-1181. The Kingston Frontenac Public Library will be closed on December 24th to 26th and December 31st to January 1st. The Invista Fitness Center and Ice Pads on December 24th, all programming, fitness center, and the front desk will close at 2 p.m. The center will also be closed on December 25th, 26th, and January 1st. New Year's Eve, December 31st, all programming and the fitness center will close at 2 p.m. to make way for a New Year's Eve event. The Artillery Park Aquatic Center, on December 24th and 31st, the front desk and building will close at 2 p.m., and it will be closed on December 25th, 26th, and January 1st. The Rideau Heights Community Center and Kingston East Community Center will both be closed on December 24th, 25th, 26th, 31st, and January 1st. The Market Wing Cultural Space will be closed December 22nd to January 2nd. And finally, the Tet Center will be closed December 24th to January 2nd. Once again, that was an overview of how the holidays are going to affect the city and Utilities Kingston services. Looking forward to 2025, change is often the hallmark of a new calendar year. For Kingston Transit, the new year will bring enhanced service and more frequent trips beginning Monday, January 6, 2025. New early morning and late night trips to employment areas will offer more convenient options for commuters to get to and from work. Transit customers can also take advantage of more trips during busy times, including more routes with 15-minute or better service, to more easily get to where they need to go. Christopher Norris, General Manager of Kingston Transit, states, quote, "We're building on the updates made in September to ensure our system is frequent, accessible, reliable, and available for customers to easily travel. Enhancing our network frequency and responding to the changing travel needs of our customers is an essential part of our work," end quote. Customers can explore the new schedules and maps at kingstontransit.ca by clicking an individual route and selecting the January 6th button. You can stay connected to Kingston Transit through the Transit app on Android or iPhone. That wraps up your headlines for this evening. Next up is Jesse Bell with your CFRC Sports Desk.
This is Jesse Bell with the Environment Canada Weather Report for the Kingston region. We start with Monday, December 30th. Unseasonably warm, daytime high of 6 degrees with a 60% chance of precipitation. Tuesday, December 31st, New Year's Eve, daytime high of 4 degrees and it will be cloudy. Wednesday, January 1st, 2025, daytime high of 3 degrees but a 60% chance of precipitation, rain showers with some flurries mixed in there. Thursday, January 2nd, daytime high of 0 degrees with a 40% chance of flurries. Friday, January 3rd, we are going to see a daytime high of minus 4 dropping down to minus 8 overnight. Saturday, January 4th is going to be the coldest day of 2025 thus far with a daytime high of minus 7 dropping to minus 11 overnight. Sunday, January 5th, we're going to see a daytime high of minus 5 with an overnight low of minus 7. And then Monday, January 6th, 2025, daytime high of minus 3, overnight low of minus 9. This is Jesse Bell with CFRC's weekly traffic report for the Kingston area. Princess to 486 Albert Street is closed until December 31st to accommodate construction and staging at 484 Albert Street. King Street, tragically hip way to Place d'Armes, is closed January 4th, 6 p.m. to January 6th, 4 a.m. for event-related parking and storage at Slush Puppy Place. Market Street, King to Ontario, is closed from January 4th, 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. for the Mater's New Year's celebration. University Avenue, Union to Stewart, is closed December 27th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for a crane to remove an HVAC unit. Some other delays to be aware of. Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl, expect delays and closures along Aberdeen for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles / Edwin to Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes phase 2 of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Front Road, Sand Bay to Country Club, expect delays for the installation of sanitary and water mains for Utility Kingston. Traffic will be reduced to one lane in each direction. Gardner's Road, Centennial and Creekford, expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence, expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard at Elmwood, expect delays while a contractor upgrades the intersection at Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard and Elmwood Street, including the replacement of street lighting, new traffic lights, replacement of asphalt on roadways, and a new multi-use pathway south of the intersection towards Bath Road.
This is your event calendar for the week. If you have an event you would like covered, feel free to reach out via cfrc.ca. On December 30th, Coffee and Connection, Mental Health Support from 10 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. A safe place to relax, connect, and create. Event located at 552 Princess Street every Monday. Also on December 30th is the Fast Food Cooking Group from 2:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Participants create quick recipes using few ingredients, which are healthy and nourishing. Registration required. To register, email Kate, K-A-T-E-E, at kchc.ca. On December 30th, the West End Run Club, Loggers and Joggers, 5:25 p.m. till 7 p.m., will be running. This event will be taking place at the Fine Balance Brewing Company. Join Runner's Choice for their free weekly run groups. All ages and paces are welcome. If you're a new runner, call Runner's Choice at 613-542-2410. Groups are canceled in unsafe weather conditions. Dress accordingly for current weather conditions and wear something reflective. December 31st at 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. is the Kingston Public Market. It's the oldest market in Ontario and has been providing food and a sense of community to residents of Kingston since 1801. The market is located in Kingston's historic downtown, right behind City Hall. December 31st, Spearhead Brewing Weekly Board Game Night from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. Head over to Spearhead Brewing, 675 Development Drive, for an unbeatable night of board games, delicious tacos, and craft beer. From December 31st, live country music at The Buckle from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Courtney Kane will be performing on stage from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. January 1st is the Fresh Food Market pop-up from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Fresh Food Market pop-up is here to help keep your belly full without emptying your wallet. We're bringing fresh, affordable produce and chef-created gourmet healthy options to Kingston and the surrounding areas every week. This event will take place at Rideau Heights Community Center. Visit freshfoodmarket.ca for more info. January 1st, also, Frank Ryan will be performing live at Musiki Cafe from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. On January 2nd, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. It's the oldest market in Ontario and has been providing food and a sense of community to residents of Kingston since 1801. The market is located in Kingston's historic downtown, right behind City Hall. On January 2nd, Royal Jam Open Mic Night takes place every Thursday night starting at 9 p.m. and ending at 11:55 p.m. at the Blue Martini. On January 3rd is the Fresh Food Market pop-up from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Also on January 3rd, Christopher Jackson live at Blue Martini from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. This event includes free cover with upbeat rock and old country songs by Christopher Jackson and his band every Friday night. Pay what you can to the musicians. On January 3rd, country karaoke at The Buckle from 9 p.m. to midnight. January 4th is live music for all ages, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Musiki Cafe hosts live music every night from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. The lineup changes weekly. Follow Musiki Cafe on Instagram to see who's performing this week. January 5th is the Memorial Center Farmers Market, open from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Many local farmers are represented here, as well as soap and candle makers and top small-scale designers. You can also find fresh, locally prepared food and dine at our food court. Whatever your local needs, the Memorial Center's Farmers Market is always here to help you. On January 5th, Afternoons with Savannah from 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., come join Savannah Shea at Musiki Cafe. She is a Kingston-based singer, writer, and multi-instrumentalist, with her songs being focused on contemplation, love, the miracle of Mother Nature, and the internal conflicts of being human. On January 5th, Christmas Party for Singles Over 30, 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. Dinner is still being decided on this event, but it will start at 6 p.m., followed by a trip to Splitsville for some bowling. Email Sarah Witwick at gmail.com for more details. That's Sarah, W-I-T-I-U-K, at gmail.com. January 5th, there's a concert at the Grand Theatre, News of the World by Queen Live. This is an authentic recreation of the actual Queen album. Note for note, cut for cut, then a brief intermission followed by a greatest hit set. Buy tickets now at the Kingston Grand Theatre website. And that concludes the event for this week. If you have an event you would like covered, feel free to reach out via cfrc.ca.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.